You're now listening to The Computer Doctor Show with Aaron Moss on 1030 The Voice.
Hello, Tucson. You're listening to The Computer Doctor Show, where we explore, report, and inform on technology subjects affecting your small business and your personal life. We have our open lines at 520-790-2040. We'll be taking your calls during the specialist spotlight interview later on in the show. On the show today, the motor vehicle is going paperless and almost officeless to the public as most transactions are being done with the new MVD app. We're going to be talking to Doug Nick at the Arizona DOT. And tech news that broke this week, including police cars that kill the COVID-19 virus using heat. Bugs were found in the new iPhone 12, will probably need updates before it's released. And looters that stole from the iPhone store are now own bricks. The phones are disabled on being tracked by Apple. Fake printer support scams are on the rise. We'll be talking with JR with National Antivirus Distribution to see how we can protect ourselves. So, the computer doctor was able to get a chance to interview Doug Nick with the DOT to shed light on the new way to transact with the motor vehicle department. Let's listen. Here we are with Doug Nick, a spokesman for the MVD. And what's happening with the motor vehicle department these days? Obviously, in retrospect of COVID-19, a lot more things are being done online using a service called MVD Now. So we have Doug with us here. So, Doug, what exactly is MVD Now?
Well, AZMVD now has been around for a couple of years, but in April, as you correctly noted, which was purely coincidental with the unfortunate public health situation that we're in April, we took out the mainframe computer platform that supports and operates MVD. It had been in operation, at least elements of it had been there for 35 years. So as you can well imagine, it definitely needed to be replaced, and we had a five-year plan to do that, to prepare for that, and we put it into place in late April, April 20th, through the weekend. And as part of that, the AZMVD Now platform, which had offered a limited number of services prior to that, was vastly expanded to offer a little more than 30 services. Really, most of what you need to have done at MVD, you can do at AZMVD Now. The only real exceptions are things like getting your first-time driver license or first-time vehicle registration, and maybe a few things like complex title work. Most other things are doable at AZMVD Now, and I know many customers are familiar with servicearizona.com. That still is there, but those are for mostly anonymous transactions, such as registration renewal, maybe getting a three-day permit, and a few other things. AZMVD Now is a secure personal account. It requires multi-factor security authentication in order to get into the account anytime you sign in. So it's really a great tool and addresses the ability for the MVD, our agency, to reach out to the online marketplace, which is obviously where the business world and the economy are taking so many things.
Right. So a little bit of the layman's terms. Okay, these are for the people that have been going to the DMV for years. They're used to being able to walk into the DMV or any of the third-party convenience MVD offices. What changes are they expecting if they were to go into an MVD office today? Will they be able to run their regular transactions, or are they going to get turned away?
So the distinction right now is that because of the public health situation, we have limited MVD offices to appointment only, and that's for things like a first-time driver license, a first-time vehicle registration, which require an office visit. So for the time being, because of the COVID-19 situation, that's the status of MVD offices. Authorized third-party offices are vendors that work under our authorization, and their business plan is run by whoever owns those third parties, and many of them are open and don't require an appointment, but that's their decision. So once we get through the pandemic, how our system will operate will probably undergo some changes, but we're looking at some of the solutions that we were frankly forced to invent on the fly, more or less, like requiring appointments, like expanding a customer service phone line and so forth. And those are constantly being tweaked. What we ultimately look like when things are restored to some sense of normalcy, whenever that time comes, is still going to look a little bit different, perhaps, but I don't have any details on what that would look like. So for now, really your best option is online. And you know, it's an unfortunate, obviously a very unfortunate thing to have this public health situation going on, but at the same time, it's forced us to increase our offerings online. It's forced us to bring more customers into the online platform. And as of this conversation, we have about 600,000 and change in AZMBD Now accounts, which is a really good number.
I will say this, speaking of, because I actually have a car rental business myself, and I find myself having to do a lot of motor vehicle transactions myself. So what has been the, I guess, the response from the public so far with using this platform? Are people happy to use it? Are they getting along with it? Or is it just as frustrating as like a regular in-person MVD visit?
Well, I think with anything new, you're going to find a mixed bag. Again, with over 600,000 accounts activated now, I think the vast majority, and we haven't done any customer satisfaction data at this point, just because it's so new and we have so many other issues with the pandemic that we're dealing with to really spend time on researching where people are in terms of their satisfaction. But generally speaking, our track record in terms of our online services has traditionally had a very, very high positive customer response. We do have some bugs and glitches, as you do with any new system, that we need to work on and are being worked on. And we realize right now people, and to be perfectly honest, we do understand that people are frustrated sometimes if they're trying to call us on the phone and it's very, very busy and they're having trouble getting through. And sometimes we hear of glitches on AZMVD now with various small problems that do occur when you introduce any new system. But I would have to say that overall, this is the platform that we've had for a number of years, albeit with limited transactions. Now we've expanded it vastly. It is certainly going to be something that people will be more used to over the years. And I think whenever you're able to tell somebody that you can do a lot of what you need to do on your time, sitting on your couch at home at 2 a.m. if you want, people definitely prefer that than having to make a trip to anywhere, especially as we all know, MVD. As much as we've improved it lately, nobody really wants to spend any more time there than they have to. So we understand that. We want to respond to that.
So a lot of people are concerned about security because when it comes to the DMV, it's a place that we know that everyone that does a transaction, they have to bring their state ID there. Everything is very secure. Now we're turning over to an MVD Now server program where everything is done online. How secure is this? Or can people steal your car title digitally or any other information?
I would argue that it's probably easier to have a security issue with a paper title these days than it is with anything electronic. You just mentioned that people come in and they're going to show us an ID and so forth. Well, we're going to look at that material, the documentation, and verify it with the data that we already have on file in your motor vehicle record. So adding a title to that is really just adding one more piece of information that we have to keep secure, which is something that we've done successfully for many, many years. Obviously, driver information security is a huge the number one priority for us, really, is safety and security of your information and people in general. So if you look at AZMVD now, the only way you're going to get on that to do title transaction or anything else is by verifying your identity. And you're going to have multi-factor so that if you go on, say, on a PC at home, we're going to send you a code to your mobile device or however you choose to do that. You have options there, but it's going to be a one-time randomly generated number that you're going to put in there, and it's not going to be the same thing every time. So it's not like you're picking your own password. It's going to have you, I mean, you do have password to get to eventually log in, but in order to confirm your authenticity, you're going to get that multi-factor security. Thieves are very, very good at taking paper and washing it, so to speak. And if you look at home sales and so forth, I've spoken to real estate lawyers who say most of the transactions buying a house are done electronically now. So if you can buy a $300,000 house using electronic documents, a $30,000 vehicle is really not that big of a stretch.
That is an extremely strong argument. Thank you very much for sharing with that.
Sure.
So moving on to the future with MVD Now, obviously there's an app, there's a website. Do we see in the future where motorists would still need to carry their paper license, registration, insurance in your vehicle?
Yeah, right now we don't contemplate any time having a paperless registration, simply because if you think about it, what if I was to borrow my brother's car and drive to the store at some point, and the registration is on his device and it's not on mine, and I was speeding? You know, that would cause difficulty. It's better to have it the registration with the vehicle. In fact, it's the law. So the technology may in fact exist for that, but we don't contemplate doing that. The technology also does exist for mobile driver licenses. We are familiar with that, and we're not prepared to introduce that anytime soon, but we know it exists, and there's a time probably in the future where we may actively explore that and go down that road, but that time hasn't come just yet. And in terms of insurance documents and so forth, that's really not our function. That would be the function of a customer's private insurance company.
All right. Well, thank you very much for the interview. Doug Nick, spokesman for MVD. And where can they get more information about that? What's the website?
Well, the website for AZMVD Now is azmvdnow.gov. That's azmvdnow.gov. And, of course, servicearizona.com is still there as well. Sometimes if you go to – not sometimes. If you do go to servicearizona.com and it's a transaction that actually requires an AZMVD Now account, it will automatically direct you to AZMVD Now.
Okay, thank you very much for the interview. We look forward to seeing how this works out.
Thanks very much. Appreciate it.
Up next on the Computer Doctor Show, tech news released this week, then the Specialist Spotlight. Get your tech questions answered live on our open lines at 520-790-2040. You're listening to the Computer Doctor Show. We'll be right back after this quick break. Stay tuned.
When your car breaks down, who can you call? The local mechanic. Timing belt, brakes, and tune-ups? Who can you call? The local mechanic. When you don't have time for vehicle service, who can come to you? The local mechanic. Keep your car running at its best with honest, reliable, and even mobile services at the local mechanic. Call 771-5191 or visit their website, thelocalmechanictucson.com.
Solar is popping up all over town. Why? Because solar just makes sense. Say goodbye to expensive summer electricity bills. Call or text Julie Festerling at Icon Power, 520-307-1013. Avoid the new 7.9% price increase with the utility company. Call Julie at 520-307-1013. Icon Power will help you take control of your electric bill.
Computer Doctor of Tucson is the best choice in desktop support in Tucson. They fix error messages, power and boot problems, install of software and hardware, and much more. You can come to them, or they can come to you, or even have a remote support session so they can fix your issues over the phone quickly. Give them a call at 261-5508, 261-5508. Visit them on the web at ComputerDoctorTucson.com. Computer Doctor of Tucson, because technology is great when it works.
Perfect Look Photography is a photography business that serves individuals, families, wedding parties, children's parties, quinceañeras, and family reunions. We also do headshots for actors and model portfolios. We photograph all types of events in Tucson and communities in Pima and Santa Cruz counties. In addition, we provide more types of photos than any photographer in Tucson, including green screen, art photography, montages, and DVD slideshows. We provide great photos at great prices. For more information or to get a quote, please call 499-4209.
Ugly Goose Car Rental is new in Tucson, providing a low-cost auto rental alternative for just $100 per week. The only catch? The cars are ugly, but very safe and reliable to get you to work, school, shopping, and all your important appointments. To reserve your $100 a week car rental, call Ugly Goose Car Rental at 520-261-0439. Again, 520-261-0439.
Welcome back to the Computer Doctor Show. Here is some tech news that broke this week. Some police cars are now able to kill the COVID-19 virus using heat. Ford announced last Wednesday it designed a heated software enhancement for the 2013-2019 SUV models. The enhancement bakes the vehicle interior until the viruses inside are inactivated. The climate control elevates the passenger compartment beyond 133 degrees Fahrenheit for 15 minutes. A collaboration with Ohio State University studied the duration and temperature required to inactivate the virus by over 99%. The hot environment can help reach areas that might be missed by manual disinfecting procedures. No word from Tucson police if they're going to be getting this upgrade, as they may not need help getting their passenger compartments above 133 degrees in June and July. Bugs were found in the new iPhone 12. Will probably need updates before it's released. Leaked details of the technology include a quad camera on the back of its iPad predecessor, which includes a LiDAR sensor that is able to measure distance and makes for better night vision, 3D imaging, virtual reality, and even give way to speed radar apps so Apple users can clock speeding cars just like the cops. The dark hacking community has already bragged about purchasing the iOS 14 internal build for jailbreaking and hacking purposes. Apple has their work cut out before its release. Looters that stole from the Apple store are now own bricks. The iPhones are disabled and they're being tracked by Apple. They can't be activated, nor can they be reset. The equipment that was stolen were all demos, and the looters were unable to break into the highly secured area where the goods for sale are kept. That's it for tech news. It's now time for the specialist spotlight. On this segment of the show, we're going to be talking to a specialist in the technology world where you can call in and ask questions and comment. Our open lines again, 520-790-2040. I'd like to introduce JR. He's with us on the phone with National Antivirus Distribution. If your family member is having an ongoing issue with computer viruses, he could be your new best friend. Thanks for being with us, JR.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah, so there was a situation in Canada that happened with a woman. She bought a Canon printer and went online to get help. She found herself at a fake Canon website with fake Canon reps and fake Canon chat session and ultimately a fake call center. So these websites are still out there. So what do people need to be careful of? And what are they after when they try to hack into your computer?
All right. So who these people are, they're organized crime and they're terrorism. And that is it. So they're going to fall in one of those two categories. None of them basically are in the United States. So it's a problem that we're never going to be able to arrest ourselves out of the problem.
Terrorism, that sounds like a pretty strong word. What actually makes them, why would you say terrorism? Because they use scare tactics?
No, they're actually really terrorists. I'm going to give you an example. Al-Qaeda primarily kidnapped humans in the beginning for ransom. And that was ISIS. And the guys at Al-Qaeda, who's a lot of high-end people over there in Saudi Arabia that are very high-degree security experts in the industry. So they went to ISIS and said, you're working too hard. Let us teach you how to do ransomware. You don't even got to leave the office to get paid.
Mm-hmm. And here's where all of these fake websites come on. So,
what they're doing is they're doing the paid advertisements to come up higher in the list of searches. And so what I usually see is, man, you can search on Hewlett-Packard, you can search on Dell, you can search on any name, and when these search results come up, what we have to do is actually look at the URL of the web page of where we're going. Because sometimes Hewlett-Packard is, you know, down 4 or 5 or on the second page before you actually get the real listing of who they are.
Right.
And so here's the goal of these guys. They're talking you into letting you get on their computer. And it's no different if they called you on the phone or you got the pop-up on your computer. Consider them all the same, okay? And so, I'm having a problem. I can't get my printer installed. Well, let us on your computer. And then the first thing they do when you let them on there is they download your browser cache. Now, why that has pertinent is every web page you logged into, every credit card that you use to purchase, PayPal account, all of that information and the passwords are sitting in that browser cache. And so they collect all these browser caches, and then that's another team's job to go through those browser caches and harvest that data. So sometimes it takes as much as 6 months before they get to the browser cache that they downloaded from you. So you never know. And here's the worst case. Geez, I let them on my computer. They put a Trojan on my computer, and now they use me to attack financial institutions.
Mm-hmm.
So, for denial of service attacks.
Right.
So this happened here locally to a credit union that I worked with when I was co-chairing the National Infrastructure Protection Center. And so then we end up aiding and abetting organized crime and terrorism without our knowledge, forwarding their cause.
How can people protect themselves? Because you had mentioned earlier about checking the actual URL. So
Correct. For
some of the users that may not know what a URL is or what the actual address is, at the top of your browser, correct me if I'm wrong, JR, it will always display exactly what URL you are currently at on the World Wide Web. And what exactly should they be looking for? So, for example, if somebody was trying to get a hold of Canon or Dell, or some sort of printer support or other type of support, what should they be looking for in the URL?
Okay, so when you do, I go to Google and I put in Hewlett-Packard support, and then I get 52 million results, okay? Mm-hmm. And so each result has the actual web page. Then listed, of course, their header, HP Consumer Tech Support and Hardware. Then right above the name is the actual web page.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And so they will have .hp.com if it's truly Hewlett-Packard. It could be something else. It could be support.hp.com. That's a genuine HP website.
Now, here's something very interesting, because I actually helped this woman remotely in Canada. The fake website actually had canon.com on it, but there was a dash and then some other gibberish .com/. So
right,
they're
because it was specific about you looking at that name, because Canon .canon.com is not the same as .canon-.
That's
whatever
right.
the text is.
Right. So it's not just you also. So just wrapping up a little bit. For example, if you want to go to canon.com, you would need to go to canon.com and you need to see that forward slash. That forward slash indicates that that is the end of that domain. What people have done is what some of these hackers have done is they've shifted the entire domain to the right and they've put something, they've renamed their domain, something that a person would want to see. But instead of a slash, there was a dash. So
right.
they named their domain com.something.com. Okay, so the name of their domain. So they can put a prefix in front of that and say that it's canon, but that's not the real canon, right? But we're out of time, JR. We're going to have you on the show again because I know you have a wealth of knowledge. Thank you very much for being with us today.
Absolutely, sir. Thank you.
We'd like to thank our guests for being on the show today, as well as our sponsors, Icon Power, The Local Mechanic, Perfect Look Photography, and Ugly Goose Car Rental. Please do business with them. They are local, and they help keep this show on the air. If you missed any part of this broadcast or messages from our sponsors or liked any of the content you saw in this episode, you can find our show online at computerdoctorshow.com to re-listen to the show and previous shows. Remember, the world is getting more and more tech, and so should you. My name is Aaron Moss, your host and technology expert. John Couch is at the control board, and this has been the Computer Doctor Show every Saturday at 2 p.m., broadcasting on KVOY 1030 The Voice. Stay safe and enjoy your weekend. Talk to you again next week.